God did not create the ritual of the red heifer, which is described in Numbers 19, to prevent the spread of disease or as some sort of superstition, but it is to make sure that we do not treat the death of a fellow human being casually. That's regardless of whether that person's death was recent or many years ago. Death is our enemy. Death is not natural. Death is not our friend. In this study, Richard delves into the symbolism of the red heifer, how it points to the Messiah, and how much we can learn about what Yeshua, or Jesus, did for us.
So we are going to a very unusual, not really unusual, it's kind of self-explanatory chapter, 19th chapter of Book of Numbers.
Now the Lord spoke to Moshe and to Aharon, saying, "This is the statute of law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish, and on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of his blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. And the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its skin, its flesh, and its blood with its dung shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire, burning the heifer. When the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp, but the priest shall be unclean until evening. The one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water and shall be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the water for impurity for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And this shall be a perpetual statute for the people of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them. Whoever touches the dead body of any person shall be unclean 7 days. And he shall cleanse himself with the water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and so be clean. But if he does not cleanse himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not become clean. Whoever touches a dead person, the body of anyone who has died and does not cleanse himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from Israel, because the water for impurity was not thrown on him, and he shall be unclean. His uncleanliness is still on him. This is the law when someone dies in a tent. Everyone who comes into the tent and everyone who is in the tent shall be unclean 7 days, and every open vessel that has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever in the open field touches someone who was killed with a sword or who died unnaturally, or died naturally, or touches a human bone or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. For the unclean, they shall take some ashes of the burnt sin offering, and fresh water shall be added in a vessel. Then a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water and sprinkle it on the tent, and on all the furnishings and on the persons who were there, and on whoever touched the bone, or the slain, or the dead, or the grave. And the clean person shall sprinkle it on the unclean on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Thus on the 7th day he shall cleanse him, and he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and at evening he shall be clean. If the man who is unclean does not cleanse himself, that person shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly, since he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord, because the water for impurity has not been thrown on him. He is unclean. And it shall be a statute forever for them. The one who sprinkles the water for impurity shall wash his clothes. The one who touches the water for impurity shall be unclean until evening. And whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean. And anyone who touches it shall be unclean until evening.
All right. Any thoughts? Oh, got one right down here.
Well, it speaks to me about how filthy and rotten sin is, that you have to go through all of that, and I've never heard of it being done on the third day and the seventh day. I've not heard that before. Okay.
Now you have. On this particular thing only. Well, not only, there's one other one too. Has to do with leopard or leprosy. Any other comments? So what do you think the chapter's talking about?
Protecting the sanctuary.
The what?
Protecting the sanctuary.
Protection of the sanctuary. Anybody else?
Protecting life.
Protecting life. All right. What is so unusual about this particular, sacrifice than any other that's written? Yes.
I've never heard of a red, I've heard of it in, somebody said something about a red heifer, but apparently there aren't any more, so I don't know what to say about that, but I've never heard that either.
It's the only animal that must be a specific color. All others that are sacrificed, there's no specific thing about being of any color. They just must be what? What?
Unblemished.
Yes.
One interesting thing, I guess, about this whole thing, besides the fact that it calls for a specific breed of animal, is that not only... It's the only sacrifice that I can think of where everyone who participates in it in one way or another becomes ritually unclean either until evening or a certain time period after that. Because you never hear about that with the priests participate in a sin offering or if they
Correct.
Participate in any other offering. Yeah, you don't hear about the priest being made unclean.
That's an unusual one right here.
But here, the priest, Eleazar, or whoever does the initial...
He's unclean.
He's unclean. What's up with that?
We'll get to there. We'll get to there.
If they're unclean because of touching all of that and the water of purification is made from that, how does something unclean make somebody else unclean clean?
Nobody can make somebody clean or unclean, basically. Okay, you can touch something that's unclean. You are the one that did it. Not the person. Let's say that person's unclean. Who touched a dead body? Well, you go and touch that person. That's your action, not the action of the person who already touched a dead body. And so we have ourselves, we have to look at that. Yes? Yeah, we'll talk about that. Very important about the water purification.
But it's made from the ashes, which made them unclean.
Correct.
So
now we've got to find out what makes them clean. What we've read so far. Something to do with the third day and something to do with the seventh day, right? And then we become what's called clean.
Now, this is on the seventh day from the time they came unclean or on Shabbat?
It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't, if you don't walk up and make sure you get clean, so you make sure the seventh day is the Sabbath. No, when you touch a dead body, you're out of the camp. Well, if you touch it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, once you've touched a dead body, you're, quote, exempt and moved from the camp. How do you get back in? 3 days later, and then another 7 days later. It doesn't matter whether it lands on a Sabbath or whether it lands on a Sunday or Monday, Tuesday. It doesn't matter. He doesn't specifically say Sabbat. It doesn't say Shabbat. It just says the seventh day.
With this particular ordinance and Jesus Christ, would you say this ordinance is now done away with?
We will get there.
So did they take care of the heifer in the tabernacle and then take everything out?
Nothing
the
was
camp?
In the tabernacle. This
so
was outside the camp.
So the whole thing was outside of the camp?
Outside of the camp. Wow. Had to be outside of the camp.
So it was.
Now, what else was outside in the New Testament?
The trash.
Christ.
Christ. Had to be killed outside of the tent or outside of the holy city or outside of the... Could not go in. You see a parallel right there? So we're talking the red heifer is a direct relationship with the Son of God. But this particular one is only issued on one thing. If you touch a dead human being. If you touch a dead animal, it's one day. But if you touch a human being, it's 3 days and seven. Why is it that when you touch a dead animal, have to bury it, move it, whatever you do, it's only for one day? And this particular one with the red heifer is, oh, if you touch a human being. Now, that's a big difference, isn't it? Now, we never really quote, pay attention to that, right? But why is Scripture telling us, when it comes to touching a human being who's dead, why is that a 3 day and a completion 7 day process compared to touching, let's say, a dead dog? Dead dog. Dead horse. Dead rat. What's the difference?
Well, it's a human.
Correct. Now, wait. I'm sorry, what?
Is it not a shadow of things to come because Christ was in the grave for 3 days?
It's a shadow relating to us. For it's not just the high priest, Aaron, did not do the function. Very important that Aaron, because man, the first scripture says, God spoke unto Moses and Aaron and said, Eleazar will do this. Now, was Eleazar a wicked man? Or was he, what was he?
I don't know what he was.
Wait a minute, the book of Leviticus took 7 days of sanctification. He was holy, clean, pure. Like all the other of his brothers. But two of them disobeyed God and lost their lives. He was not an unclean. He was a clean. A priest has to be clean. He does not go around saying, oh, I'm unclean. No, he was clean when he did it. He became unclean. Now, Eleazar became unclean when he had to do this function. Now, why would God want Eleazar, who is clean and second in command of all the high priests there, why would he want to make Eleazar pollute himself, contaminate himself, defile himself?
Because he needed Moses and Aaron, right?
Had to be a priest to do it, but not the high priest.
Right.
Yes.
Well, yes, that's what I was wondering, because the high priest would take all that upon himself, picture what Yeshua did, to take upon that son, take it away for our sake.
Okay, so here we are.
The picture of the father and son.
Picture.
Did he use Eleazar so that Moses or Aaron didn't get dirty so they could do what they needed to do?
No. It's because God so said, I want Eleazar to become defiled. I want Eleazar to become unclean. That seems unfair. Right? Now, when Eleazar did this, how long did he have to wait in order to become clean?
7 days.
Until evening. He didn't touch a dead body. He was not to kill the heifer. Someone else will kill the heifer. He didn't kill the heifer. Someone else did. Very important to know that. Yes.
What if the unclean person touches you? Are you unclean then?
Yes.
So who killed the red heifer?
Did it say? It says, and then you shall give, verse 3, give her unto Eleazar the high priest, that he may bring her forth without the tent, and one shall slay before his face. So someone else is going to slay the heifer in front of and before Eleazar. Okay? Doesn't say who. More than likely, it's probably one of his brothers or even a Levite who's supposed to assist and help in all the sacrifices. All right? So here we are. Now he's supposed to take. Go ahead.
Is he a witness to that?
I'm sorry,
is Eleazar a witness to that? Is that why he has to stand before it and watch it like that?
Who's the witness?
Eleazar, a witness that the heifer got killed. So why would he be standing there?
A little confused here with the question.
Is Eleazar a witness to?
Oh, is Eleazar the witness to it? He's actually a participant within it.
Okay.
All right, he's just not sitting there and watching things. He's actually actively doing it. Not the killing, but other things. Now he has to take this blood, right? And he takes the blood of the heifer. What is he supposed to do with it?
He has to throw it outside.
Now it says before the tabernacle of congregation or before the tabernacle of Moed. But he didn't go in, nor could he go in because he becomes unclean. Now it says there he looked toward the tabernacle when he spread the blood. He didn't go inside the Holy of Holies. He didn't go inside the tabernacles because this thing had to happen outside of the camp. He would not return back into the camp until his function and job was over with. And he became unclean in this process. Very strange. Now, Eleazar plays a very functional role in propheticness. That's very important to know. Who does he represent here? We'll go on further. And then he is going to take and get burn the heifer. And one shall burn the heifer in his sight. So we have one person will burn the heifer. They'll have to make it. Remember, it's outside. It was not on an altar. Because the altar is inside of the tabernacle. So it's outside of the altar. What's called a clean place. Meaning it's not dirty. But it doesn't say it was holy. Just outside of a place. And that's where he was have this thing to be done. He burned the heifer in his sight, her skin and the flesh and her blood and her dung, and he will burn it. Oh, that means it goes into whole offering. Excuse me. So we have this basically it's called that all the smoke does what? It rises up. So now we have all this, and then he throws in, while it is burning, he throws in three things. Yes.
I was getting to what's with the cocktail recipe here with the cedar wood hyssop and scarlet.
Yes.
Yeah.
He threw in three more things while it's burning.
Now this thing gets burnt to ashes, so this is not part of a barbecue recipe.
Barbecue. get that word barbecue out of your mind. This is the death of a red heifer, not the life of the red heifer to be eaten and consumed up. This is the death of a heifer. Don't picture in your mind that it's something that you munch on and eat and think it's by smelling barbecue. It turned into smoke. Turned into ashes. You want to eat a bunch of ashes? Yes.
Was it for the pleasing aroma to the Lord?
Doesn't say that.
Okay. I hate to bring this up, but I'm
going
to have to.
Wait, she had a phantom verse.
Cedar wood is red.
Uh-huh.
Scarlet material obviously is red.
Uh-huh.
And hyssop is purification, and that's the whole purpose of this red heifer thing, was to create something that could be used to
purify. All that God burns up into ashes, into smoke. Yes.
Never mind.
Oh. Now, this cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet are used when you have, for someone who has a skin disease. Remember, it takes him 7 days for him to be purified. The same thing. The same kind. It has function of bringing something back into holiness or become someone who's unclean, now becomes clean. Here, the heifer is dead and burnt up. Now he throws in these three things that are for purpose of purification, to cleanse and to bring one back into, shall we say, the realm of God. No, that's getting burnt up. That's weird, don't you think? Now, let's ask ourselves some questions. And what's next, he says? Now, the priest, verse 7, shall wash his clothes, and he shall bathe his flesh in water, and afterwards shall come into the camp, and the priest shall be unclean until the evening. No, Eleazar gets to come back into the camp. Now, others, I see, who have touched the stuff, They had the very same thing process, because they're not really doing what you think they're doing. They're doing what exactly God has in mind for a reason. Now, verse 9 is very important. And the man that is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up outside of the camp in a clean place. So he gathers up all this ashes of the heifer. And he shall keep, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for a water. See, knew that. We have to now mix this ashes with water, don't we? So now we use this water, and it's for the purpose of separating something. What is the purpose of water for? To separate, yes.
When a husband gets the jealous spirit on him, they have to give the waters. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, or anything else. Even when you have a... we'll talk about this. We have to get into this particular thing, okay? Water separates. Separating water does one main thing. Cleanses. All right? Plain as it cleanses, right? And when it cleanses, the certain water, not any water, a certain water, not saying holy water, we're saying water is separated to mix with this ashes in order to separate something or to segregate the person who touched a dead human being. To segregate them from what?
Sin.
From what?
Sin.
From death. Keep that in mind. It is to separate them from death. The big issue on death. This book chapters talk about death, 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 death. And yes, it doesn't mention sin. But death is overwhelming in this chapter. It has to do when you touch a human being and who has died even in the field, in battle, in war, and your buddy is dead, and you're over there trying to do your very best to keep him alive, and all of a sudden the person's dead. Guess what? You're unclean. What are you going to do? Oh, stop the war!
Got to get a red heifer.
You can't do that, right? So a matter of time when it comes to become, he didn't say that you have to do it immediately, but when the time comes to do it. You know, it takes a while to bury your mom and dad. It may take a while to bury your son or a daughter. It's not like it's overnight. It takes a while. Now, it doesn't mean that you should do it immediately, because that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about separating yourself from something called death. It's a sin of purification. You know what it's called? Sin of purification, not the sin of equity, transgressions. It's the sin of purification. So we're looking at this red heifer. We're seeing the ashes and the blood of the red heifer mixed with hyssop, mixed with red cedar, mixed with the red scarlet, and all in ashes. And then comes along and he says, now put it in a very special place. And when anybody in Israel, this particular thing is not meant for high priest and only high priest. It's meant for people, ordinary people, that now, you know, you wake up and your person's dead. Oh, wow, you didn't know it was dead? Gee, oh, they're dead. No, you're unclean. Okay, this is something that happens in life. Now I say, why is God making a big issue about this stuff? Why is God saying, okay, this is what I want you to do. Why would he want you to go through this process?
Even though we think of death as being natural, maybe the point of all of this is for us to realize that really death is not natural.
He didn't create Adam and Eve to die. He created Adam and Eve to live. And the reason why the Son of God died so we can live. So it actually is for us, isn't it? So the red heifer is about doing something for our benefit, not for anybody else's, no matter who you are. Now we know from this one that it's mixed with water, and it's to be, quote, sprinkled, and sometimes they translate poured upon you. I don't know which way it was. It doesn't mean an awful lot, but something on there about this, quote, red heifer. Now, it must not have any burden.
It can't have blood.
Never have ever had a burden, a yoke. As a female, so she never would have had a calf. She was young. And she had to be, what color?
Red.
All the way through. This is the point why it's so hard to find a red heifer completely all the way red. This is why in the Jewish organizations, they're trying to find a red heifer. There's only red in every spot of her entire body, ears, inside the ears, inside the mouth, everything. Make sure it's always red. Now, quote, there's an awful lot of red heifers in Texas, but they have flaws. Can't use them. I don't know. Ellie's not here, but we had followed through this red heifer for years. And, oh, almost got one. No, no, no. Almost got one. No, no, no. Almost got one. No, 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 no. They're still looking. I don't know if they'll ever find one. And if they do, it should be the most massive, awesome thing for Christians as well as Jews to picture the Messiah. Yes.
Was this a yearly thing, or like when they ran out of the water, did they just go and...
No, no, you'll get new water. The water, you don't add water. The only time you add water to the ashes is when you have touched a dead body. It's not water that does not remain. You take the ashes and mix it with water, then that's poured upon somebody or sprinkled upon somebody. And scripturally speaking, it's supposed to be what we call living water. That means that comes out of the well or that comes out of a stream or something that's flowing. It keeps flowing and flowing and flowing. It's always a liquid. We call it living. Bible calls it living water. It means it's moving. No, don't. You can't use what we call a... What is this? Well, it's flowing. What's it call that stuff that's...
Stagnant water,
but you also buy it on the market. There's nothing in it.
Distilled.
A what?
Distilled water.
Yeah, right. Distilled water. That's distilled. I mean, it doesn't work anymore. You might think it worked, but God said, no, no, no. It's got to be moving. It's got to be live. It's got to be fresh. He says he who gathers those ashes and... He must now wash his clothes, and he's unclean until evening. He got them over there. He's a clean person. Got them all over here now. He got them all piled up where it's supposed to be, exactly wherever outside the camp was. And now he's unclean. Now he has to go back in. He can go back in the camp, but he'd be unclean until when? Until evening. It's a person who touched a dead human being. Neither one, the man who did the killing of the red heifer, Cornelius didn't touch a human being that's dead. He didn't touch anybody. But became unclean because the red heifer represents something that is, quote, unclean. Did you hear what I said? The ashes of that heifer represent something that is unclean, not something that is clean. Now, was it clean before it was killed?
The red heifer?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes, she had to be clean. No flaws. She had to be no yoke. Nothing. Totally 100% perfectly red, perfectly innocent, perfectly did nothing. That makes sense to you? Now it's dead. And the results of that dead heifer is to purify with water the ashes and water upon someone who touches a dead human being. Not a dead animal, a dead human being. All right. See, he says down in verse 11, says, anyone who touches the body of any body, any man, or any human being, shall be unclean for 7 days. Oh, how do you get clean? On the leprosy, you are unclean for 7 days. How do you get clean? Now, unlike leprosy, this one here has specific rules. And the fascinating thing about this is what? He must purify himself on the third day. Now, nobody really can purify themselves because you can't purify yourself and make yourself pure. You can't make yourself holy. You can't make yourself from being unclean to clean. Only We read before, the high priest is to mention and say you are clean and unclean, no matter what. We read that book of Leviticus. So you don't do it of and by yourself. And you go before the high priest, and on the third day, what happens? You purify yourself with what? And on the seventh day, you shall be clean. But if he purifies himself not on the third day, then the seventh day he is unclean. Why is that such a big deal with God? We have a heifer, totally innocent, totally pure. Now, her blood had to be sprinkled toward, but not inside the tabernacle, but toward, because it says he turns toward the tabernacle of meeting or tabernacle of the Moed and sprinkles it seven times. Seven always means what? Completion. So he's completed something toward something called what?
Life.
Life? Let's get more specific. I'm sorry, what? Why toward the tabernacle of Moed?
Where
God lives. The dwelling place of God. All right. That's important. Now, God wanted this heifer to be killed outside of and separate from and apart from his dwelling place. Now, we see that Yahshua himself... What happened to him? He was killed away from and outside of in a separate place from what? The temple. And he was killed upon what's called a clean place. Now he wasn't killed there alone. Two others were killed along with him, right? Interesting. Why just two? Why aren't there 10? Why aren't there 7? Why 2? Oh, it's all of 1, 2, 3 deaths. Only one came back to life on the third day. The others did not. Didn't picture that they're wicked, evil, corrupt, or whatever. Just that they were not made clean by the red heifer yet. Whoever touches the dead body of any human that is dead and purifies not himself, what is that? What happens? He defiles the temple or the tabernacle of the creator of heaven and earth. That's pretty serious, don't you think? We don't look at it that way. Of course, now he's talking to the whole house of Israel because they will cut him off from Israel. When you cut him off from Israel, what does that mean? You're dead?
No, it means you're kicked out.
You're kicked out, you're out of camp, you're no longer a part of the house of Israel. You are now a goyim, put in that simple language. You're no longer a member of the commonwealth. Now we go on here, and he says, because of the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. Remember we read that just back here? Water has to do with purification. In that water, purification is what? We're talking about touching dead human beings. What is in that water of purification? The red heifer ashes. Its blood, its bones, everything that was scriptural, that was described there, what she was, all of her, even the hide, nothing was removed. On a regular offering, the high priest gets to keep the hide and could sell it. Not this one. Not even the, quote, flesh of the red heifer, in a quote, could make money out of it.
So they burned the whole thing.
Everything you could think of. They didn't wash it. They just cut it and killed it and burnt ashes. And, of course, verse 19, 15, it's, of course, every open vessel which has no covering around it, it's unclean. What do you got to do? You got to clean it. And whoever touches one that is slain in the sword or an open field in a battle of war, or even touches the bone of a man, or a grave. So you could actually digging up bones, and you could be one of those people who dig up and you're out there digging dead bodies, dead bones. Guess what happened? You're unclean.
I
think unclean. Yes.
Why did the priest throw the cedar wood, the hyssop, and scarlet in?
Those are part of purification. And all that went up in smoke with the red heifer. You remember we did the thing on the leprosy? The leprosy had the very same thing, those three items, for purification. And hyssop is supposed to be a healing thing or a cleansing thing. And yes, Ellie.
Well, since you're burning the hide, too, it means you're smelling the burnt hair, and all of those oils are really strong.
Yeah, remember, this is outside the camp, long ways away from the tabernacle.
Yeah, you could probably smell it from the camp,
though. All those places are the place where it's clean. The ground was clean, not meaning that it wasn't sanctified by God. Nor was the place where Yahshua killed was sanctified by God. It was just clean. No death had happened yet, basically. So we keep on going here, and of course, that's to do with the graves, unclean for 7 days. We read all that part, eating bone for touches of bone, or one slain, or dead, or a grave, same thing. So you can't get out of it saying, well, I didn't touch the dead body, I touched the dead bone. No, same thing. We're talking human being bone, not an animal bone. Everything in this chapter has to do with touching a human being's deadness, any form. That would include, remember those men that were cast on the bones of a certain prophet?
Yeah.
Guess what they had to go through the process of? They touched a dead body. Even though they resurrected from the dead, they had to go through the process of the red heifer. He says, anyone. Yes, touches. Yes.
Just a question. I don't know, historically, do we know that the red heifers, being able to find them, did that stop around the time or shortly after the death of the Messiah?
I'm not familiar with it. Someone else may have known that historically. I do not know. I'm not too smart on that stuff. Yes?
I've had to clean dead bodies after someone died, so I've never been cleansed or anything.
We'll talk about that when we reach the book of Hebrews, okay? Understanding why this is a big issue with God. It's not the heifer that cleanses you. It's not the blood of the heifer that purifies you. It's not the water that's mixed with the blood of the heifer and the ashes of the heifer that purifies you. Who purifies you? The Son of God. He is the red heifer. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
When we get the book of Hebrews, we'll find out more, because he clarifies it very clear in Hebrews what that's all about. Now, all this has to do with the third day. Has to do, what happened the third day?
Well, he came back to life.
Raised from the dead. And if you do not purify yourself on the third day, what happens when God says, you have now defiled me? Ooh. Because you didn't accept the death of, quote, the red heifer to bring you to life. Right? That makes sense to you? So this chapter is self-explanatory. It's aiming right toward the Messiah. Everything about it is about the Messiah. He had no burden. He had no yoke. He says, my yoke is light. He didn't have one. He had no yoke to carry on. He was unyoked. Yes. Oh. He took off.
Sorry.
He had to answer a phone.
You know, some people might say that the reason that God wanted them to go through this ritual was to prevent the spread of diseases that one can catch from a dead body. But the fact that he even calls for this ritual to be done upon someone who has touched the bones of somebody who may have been dead for a very, very long time,
yeah,
such as like you see with archaeologists,
right, yeah,
bones,
yeah,
or whatever. It tells you that this is not a disease issue. This is not a health issue. This is God wanting to, as I see it, it's so that God doesn't want us to treat death as something normal and doesn't want us to treat it casually. And that's the one thing I don't like about archaeology, is when they dig up these bones, whether it's there was a recent thing in Jamestown,
yeah,
one of our first American settlements, they dug up the bones of several of the founding fathers of the colony. And they're all excited about some of the artifacts that they found that survived, you know, and all that. But the danger of that is that you treat the death of these people too casually. You're treating their remains and their names
yes,
too casually. And I think going through this whole thing is to prevent you from treating death as something that's normal and treating it casually. It's our enemy. It's not something that is supposed to be normal. We're not supposed to think of it as something normal.
Okay. That's great. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent statement. Now, thank you for saying that. I happen to agree with you with just what you said and almost everything here is. I may have missed a couple of points there, but I want to say you something that I think is very important. And like she said, the issue here is the dead human being, not the dead animal. And it's very, very important to keep that in track in mind of what this chapter is talking about. And we're talking about a heifer, then we're talking about what it does in, quote, purification, sanctification. No. God put that together for us to see something, because everything that was written, all the laws, all the commandments, are written for us. And what did the Apostle Paul say? We are to establish them. Well, how do you establish that? Well, because something very special. We'll get into that in just a minute. I hope I'm not boring everybody.
No, you're not.
And he says here now, verse 20, once again, the second warning, he says, you can be cut off from amongst the congregation, from the family of God, or the house of God, the kingdom of God, let's put it this way, with modern terminology, because he did not accept the sprinkling of the water and the ashes of the heifer and her blood. Didn't accept it. That's going to be, you know, if you don't want anything to do with me, that's fine. Goodbye. That's a serious matter, of course, when you read this stuff, right? Wow, how do I get out of that? Okay, let's go on to something else. Let's see if I'm missing anything in my notes.
Richard?
Yes, yes.
Is the reason if they didn't purify themselves on the third day, then on the seventh they were unclean and they were cut off because they were ignoring God's commandment?
On the third day.
They were treating it as of no value.
No value.
Okay.
And that we're moving into the time of the Messiah here. Okay. And he's resurrected now from the dead. And guess what? Day seven, days of unleavened bread. Coincidence, right? Okay. Of purity and truth. Just coincidence, right? Or it has a deep meaning. Okay? So when you go through these 7 days, regardless what took place, you are, and what Apostle Paul says, you are already unleavened. Remember? He didn't say, oh, now days of unleavened bread are gone, now you're unclean, you're unholy, you won't get back to becoming holy until days of unleavened bread again. Huh? Wait a minute. Does not truth always live with you? Does not sincerity always live with you now? Because you've accepted all the way to the seventh day, including the seventh day, the whole amount. So, now we go on here. I'm just checking some of my notes. Now, the heifer being unyoked. Yes, it can refer to two different meanings in the New Testament. Unyoked, meaning never committed sin and transgression because she was pure and her life was taken. Now she carried a bigger yoke. What did she carry? Sin. Because the very first part of the chapter, it says purification of sin. The Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, Son, is the one that purifies us and sanctifies us. So this whole chapter, 19th chapter, is all about the Son of God and what it means and how important it is. And we need to kind of play a little bit closer than ever before of the meaning and the purpose behind it. One thing to keep in mind before we go on to Hebrews. what is the weakness? I'm going to call that weakness in a sense of, what is the weakness of the Torah? Not the strength of the Torah. What is the weakness of the Torah?
Our flesh.
I didn't say us. I said the Torah. Written by God, what is the weakness of the Torah that God Almighty established? I said weakness of it. Didn't say perfection, that is unclean or clean. I said, what was the weakness of it?
But the Word of God says there is none.
Yes, he said it is. Paul's apostle said so. What's a weakness, Ellie?
It is unable to change a human's heart.
It's unable to make someone holy. Unable to make somebody come back alive. Unable to pay the price for somebody's sins. Now, that was deliberately written because God says it won't work. That's what Apostle Paul is talking about in Galatians. Now, we can say, well, Apostle Paul knew what he's talking about because, oh, that's the weakness. He said, no, it's weak. Has no power of life. Has the power of what?
Death.
Now, the Torah teaches us inside of itself, there is in there a way to live. And the Messiah said something about the Torah. Justice, mercy, and faith, a trust. Now, that's also written there. But the Torah, the laws of God cannot bring forth life. Only the death of his son and the resurrection of his son can bring forth life. Yes.
Would it be fair to say the three things that Torah does, it defines what sin is and it blesses and curses?
Yes. Basis all both. In a nutshell, that's what it is. And God, we are to uphold the law. Don't get me wrong. We should not be breaking the law. We should be living by it. But doesn't mean that we are, our life is now dependent upon living by it. Because of myself, it, the Torah, the laws cannot keep us alive. If I get arrested for murder, and I confess everything on the sun, the judge can be, and I get, guess what? Now the law, I'm obeying the law now, I'm in jail, but doesn't deliver me from death. Doesn't take me out of jail. I'm still there. Only the Messiah can get me out of death and out of jail and into life. That's what the red heifer is all about. Alright? Is that hard to understand? Now let's go to Hebrews. Real briefly to the 9th chapter. We're gonna make this real short because I'm gonna run out of time like crazy. Start in verse 1.
Hebrews what?
9th chapter. I'm gonna come to a conclusion here. Okay. Then indeed, even the first commandments, or the first covenant, the first order, had ordinance of divine services and earthly, what? Sanctuary. Now, since it's earthly, it's of heaven or it's of the earth? It's of the earth. All right, keep that in mind. And for the tabernacle was prepared, the first in which the lampstand and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Okay, that's where you get purified. And behind the second veil, a part of the tabernacle, which is to be called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, within it the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. Now, what's the covenant?
The Ten Commandments.
Try to remember that. And the Ten Commandments are called the testimony, the witness. Those Ten Commandments, no matter how hard you try to follow them, will not give you life. But you will live by them. I understand. Everybody understands that, right? We're talking the simplicity of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the real simpleness of it, not the details and preciseness of this and that and that and this and this and that. It's not about the 613 or 14 or 15 or 2,000 laws. It's about that which is in the ark, which Eleazar was to sprinkle seven times, the blood of the heifer before it was burnt toward that place where the covenant was, the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, where the mercy seat was. That's because he couldn't go back in. He was unclean. He can't enter that place because he's unclean. He remained unclean until that evening. And he keeps on going. Let's drop on down now. Let's keep on reading. Now, these things have been, verse 5, and above, and all the cherubim, the glory of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which things we cannot now speak in detail because they didn't have it. Okay? But when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing certain services. That is the first section. Now, but into the second part, the high priest, once a year, with not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people. And the Spirit of God indicating this, that the way to the holiest of all was not yet made manifested while the first tabernacle was still standing. Now, we understand that the curtain, remember I told you what the veil means in Hebrew? That which is torn. That which is torn. And when the Messiah was killed, what happened to that veil? It became a living thing in the past. Prophecy. And what does he say here? That represented the what? The flesh. All of it. What part of the body of Yahshua was not offered? Even, quote, the hide was burnt. Everything was gone. Life was gone. Right? Nothing was to survive. Including the red cedar, the hyssop, and the scarlet thread. Eliminated. Now we come here. Verse 11, but Christ became our high priest of the good things to come, not of the things that were, but things to come. With greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Now remember, Moses was told to make this thing exactly as you saw it. And human beings built it. It took them a year to do it. And human beings, their hands, they made all the men and women who were talked about who did all the work and all that glory, the metal decking, those are made with human hands. Right? Now, he said, this was not going to be made of human hands. It's not made of God. And he said, verse 12, but the blood of the goats, the calves, but with his own blood. Oh, I'll backtrack here. Let me go verse 11 first. But Christ came, high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Did you notice that word? Because he said, prophecy said, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Right? So this was going to be the earth itself, quote, is the tabernacle of human beings in flesh and blood. But when it's finished, the outer part is now gone. So a new part will show up. And we have that in the book of Revelation where a new heaven and new earth comes about. And go down here. Now the blood of goats, cows, but with his own blood he entered into the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For the blood of bulls, goats, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifice for the purification of the flesh. Here we have that washing. Remember, it says the ashes are mixed now with water and you pour it upon someone who touches a dead human being or dead human bone or dead human grave. And only if it's human. Otherwise, you're only unclean for one day. Here, 3 days and then 7. So you go through a cleansing process in a sense twice. First is through the third day, accepting what took place to the Son of God. And then you live on through the days of unleavened bread, and you become So you could become pure and true. Symbol of complete cessation. Now you're perfect. Now you're with God. Now he continues on. So we're talking about this red heifer. What's that good about? Not now, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, like the red heifer, cleansed our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So now we come into this heifer that has to do with dead human beings and what they do. What do human beings do when they work? They what? Human beings. When human beings, what is the profit of human beings' work?
A reward. They get paid. They feel good about themselves.
The wages of human beings is death.
Yeah. Oh, wages. I thought he meant the
dog. Well, that's what human beings do. They pollute. They pollute this earth. They pollute the creation. They pollute everything God created. That's the work we do. I cannot say the things I drew as an engineer were perfect and holy and just and good. I had no idea where they were going to go and what damage they could do later. I like to build airplanes. Guess what? They come along and kill people. Oh, man, that's my work. I brought forth death. Wow, what a reward. You understand what I'm saying? Our work, our hands, I cannot make myself pure by saying to God, God, I'm pure, I quit. No, 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 no. Good that you quit and you start living by my word. But no, penalty still has to be paid for what you've done. You just can't say, oh, forgive me, thank you. I accept the blood of Christ, God, thank you. When we are washed with the blood of Christ, what does that mean? We go into the 19th chapter of Numbers, and what do we see? The complete body, everything perfect and holy and good, with no flaw, dead. No life in it. So we are taking forth, quote, the death of the Messiah. And we need to take the death of the Messiah, have it mixed with water from above, the Spirit of God, and what happens to us?
We're made clean.
We're made holy. So one son says, I've been washed by the blood of the Messiah. Keep this in mind. That blood had to be mixed with death. It turned everything was into ashes. Because the red heifer's blood was still part of that, right? But life is in what?
Blood.
Blood is in the life of the animal. Blood was in the life of the Messiah, by the way. As well as blood is out of you, is keeping you alive. Now that blood was perished. It was destroyed. Everything was gone. So on the third day, when recognized, we can get technical about what day it is, what day of the week it is. I don't care about that. I don't care about what the story is telling us about. So he is the one that made himself resemble or a picture of the red heifer. Yes?
Is that in reference to, John, when John says that the side was of Messiah was pierced, blood and water flowed out?
You got it. Those are not accidental sayings. Those are purpose behind everything that's ever been said. Any questions?
Richard, also, if I remember right, too, in the account that when they dipped the sponge to him, they had hyssop in it, right?
I missed your question. You walked away.
When Messiah was on the cross,
yes.
And he said, I am thirsty,
yes.
Hyssop was in the sponge that they gave him to drink.
And then he's dead.
You've been listening to a discussion at Hallel Fellowship. If you would like to hear more discussions or if you have any questions, visit the website at hallel.info. That's hallel.info. Hallel.info.